tights. The young Bedřich Hrozný was an outstanding student, well learned in some 10 languages, Semitic and European. He had proven his mettle in grueling archaeological expeditions in Turkey and Palestine, and had shown an aptitude for discovery after finding, translating, and publishing 5,000-year-old recipes for brewing Sumerian beer. These accomplishments proved the prerequisite to what was to become his greatest achievement, the decipherment of the Hittite language in 1915. J. Jazanov, a professor of Indo-European linguistics at Harvard University, is a leading scholar in Hittite language.
The Hittites were an ancient people of Asia Minor who were discovered rather late in the game. Their ancient capital was excavated at the very beginning of the 20th century, and it yielded an enormous trove of tablets written in the Hittite language. Now, the writing system they were written in was the cuneiform writing system of ancient Mesopotamia, the language, the writing system that the Babylonians used, for example. So we could sort of read the letters, the equivalent of the letters, which mostly stand for syllables, and some of the signs which stood for notions like king or land and things like that. But the language itself that was spelled out by these signs was completely unintelligible. It was a new language, one that we didn't know before. And Hrozný's achievement was to make sense of the language, to figure out what it was.
Either with miraculous timeliness or foreseeing the outbreak of war, Hrozný traveled to Istanbul to retrieve copies of the Hittite tablets, and upon return was promptly conscripted into the wartime Austrian army, where his fortunate post as a clerk allowed him ample time for decoding the writing. Working with texts from a Semitic region, Hrozný had hardly considered that the impenetrable language could have been of any other origin, until he began working with a particular set of rhymed lines that read as follows.
Nun in da an etzatene, vatar ma ekutene.
At this point, Hrozný was inspired to follow a new train of thought. Recognizing the Babylonian sign for bread, ninda, he considered the probability of the next word, eza, to mean eat, and thus its potential as a cognate to the Greek edin, Latin edere, and German essen. Then seen like this, the other words leapt out, nu, now, watar, water, leaving Hrozný with his first successfully deciphered sentence, now you will eat bread and drink water. J. Jazanov again.
What he did was notice in a couple of critical passages where some of the context was known because the words were expressive of sense rather than phonetic signs. So, for example, the word for bread, the word for God, and so on were given. And he found a couple of contexts where he was able to make brilliant guesses as to what the surrounding context meant. And he plugged values into the words, which proved to be correct and showed that Hittite was a member of the Indo-European language family. That's the family to which almost all the languages of Europe belong, as well as Sanskrit and its descendants in India and modern Persian. So he was able to establish that Hittite was another Indo-European language, and an extremely old one, like in fact older than Sanskrit and Greek and the other early members of the family.
And thus Bedřich Hrozný, whose name incidentally translates as Frederick Terrible, of the small town of Lysé nad Labem, came to be the only person in communion with a vanished Anatolian empire. He could read Hittite. The obvious question then remains, what did he read?
The importance of the Hittites lay in part in their being equal partners and competitors of the Egyptian Empire, who were unknown until Bedřich Hrozný deciphered their language. Another thing we discovered thanks to the decipherment of Hittite was the Hittite Code of Laws, which we can say was progressive in comparison to other similar codes of the day, in that it imposed primarily monetary penalties or retribution, rather than punishments of death or mutilation, as was common at the time.
The Hittite Code of Laws was first published in 1922 by Hrozný himself, and his translation revealed a breathtakingly detailed treatment of crime and punishment from one of mankind's earliest sets of written law. With almost the same exhausting scrupulousness of modern law, the code regulated every aspect of life from the sacred to the banal. Since any list of what people must not do is a perfect indicator of what they actually do do, Hrozny's translation of the Hittite legal code gave a vivid insight into the life of a society that had not been seen or heard of for more than 3 millennia.
If someone kills a person in a quarrel, the killer shall produce the body and give 4 people from his household in recompense, whether the slain person is a man or a woman. If a free man kills a snake while speaking another's name, he shall pay 40 shekels of silver. If the offender is a slave, however, he shall die. If someone injures a person and makes him ill, he shall care for him in his illness, and in his place he shall provide a person to work his estate while he recovers. When he recovers, the
In addition to the priceless code of laws, the thousands of available Hittite tablets offered a trove of letters, personal and official, detailed instructions for religious ceremonies, and contracts, among business partners to be sure, but also among nations. They are some of the first international treaties known to history. One tablet from 1283 BC, specifying the terms of peace between the Hittites and the Egyptians under Ramesses II, is on display in the United Nations today as an example of one of the earliest known international peace accords. The Hittites proved to be avid and willing negotiators. Marek Rektářík of the Institute of Comparative Linguistics.
Once when a Hittite king was concluding a treaty with a vassal Caucasian state, so to speak, the king's daughter was married off as part of the treaty. But it was apparently necessary to contractually stipulate that there was to be no consorting of a sexual nature with the betrothed princess's sister. This was likely because polygamy was self-evident to the vassal state but forbidden by the Hittite court of laws, and so the Hittite king could not have allowed such an arrangement, and that had to be treated directly in the treaty.
Zákoníku, takže to muselo být přímo v té smlouvě řečeno.
Dámy a pánové, dnes seznámíme se s hlavními zásadami Kikulova systému.
The open door to a lost civilization took Hrozny's interests far afield. What you just heard is the professor speaking on Czech radio in 1932 on, quote, the tenets of Kikuli's system of horse training, a system used by the ancient Indo-European nations in the second millennium before Christ in the ancient Orient. Hrozny found his good fortune fading in the 1930s, however. He was vexed in his attempts at deciphering the writing systems of Crete and India and the hieroglyphic writing of the Hittites, and doggedly resisted the ultimately correct decipherments of his colleagues once they had beaten him to the punch. Again, however, he found himself in an important place at an important time in 1939, when he was appointed rector of Charles University prior to the German occupation and the closing of the universities that same year.
O jeho osobní statečnosti například svědčí příhoda z roku...
Bedřich Hrozny's personal bravery is attested to by an incident that occurred in 1939, when he had just become the rector of Charles University and faced off the invaders in the course of protecting the university. A group of students were hiding on the campus, and Bedřich Hrozny, whose language skills included impeccable German, warned the German officer in charge of finding them that they had no legal right to pursue the students on the campus. By doing this, he was able to protect the students for the time being.
Hrozny continued to teach privately throughout the occupation. However, a major stroke in 1944 left him unable to resume his academic duties following the liberation of Czechoslovakia in 1945. His work, however, remains critical to the study of the history, anthropology, and linguistics of the Near East, and to fields of European-wide significance today. Professor Jazanov again.
The discovery of Hittite meant that we found the oldest attested Indo-European language. There's a whole field which concerns itself with reconstructing the common parent of the Indo-European language family on the basis of its oldest descendants, and in that way tracing the history of all the languages, including the modern ones like English or French or Czech for that matter. And what Hittite did was supply another extremely important early voice of testimony about what the parent language of the family looked like, so that the whole field of Indo-European linguistics has never been the same since Hittite was discovered.